right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for March 25th, 2024. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and this is episode number 423. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today I've arranged for Michael Filiguera to join us again. You should be seeing his screen right now. And the option professor is back to moderate, so I'm going to turn it over to him.
Okay. Thanks a lot, David. And welcome everybody here on a Monday morning. Got a holiday shortened week. And while everyone is out on holiday, they're going to announce the PCE on Friday. And they're going to have Mr. Powell explain what that means. So it'll be very interesting to see what that number is because the world doesn't seem to be getting any cheaper out there for much of what we do. So it'll be interesting to see. With us today is Michael Filiguera. He is going to give a little quick background on himself, and then we're going to look into a lot of great stuff here this morning. So, Michael, quick background and what's going on in your company?
First, let me just say, I love your introduction. Hey, PCE will come out on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's a conversation itself. So, sorry. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. My name is Michael Filiguera. I am the chief cook and bottle washer over at logicalsignals.com and tradershelpingtraders.com. And I have been trading. I started my career as an options market maker. I've traded on the Pacific Exchange here in San Francisco. I've traded in London, Amsterdam, Germany, and then came back to San Francisco. At the moment, though, with the markets are going all electronic, I moved to my home office. And in about 2013, I believe it was, I decided I was going to give a try at becoming a day trader. And so I stopped trading options and picked up futures. And so far, so good. But I'm moving back into adding options. That's good news for you, Jim. So because that's my start, that's my core. And I'm just seeing a lot of opportunity in options, but also doing the futures as well. I also run a trade room and I provide daily Sunday through Thursday, daily updates on the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ one. And those are on YouTube.
Perfect. Okay, let's get into these markets here. We might as well start with the S&P. It is, you have it on the screen, the SPX. You want to use that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And what are you seeing here? And what are you thinking on the wave count and also the Fibonacci extensions?
If we go format, what do we think for the end of the week? What do we think for Thursday? I think we have a fair chance of ending higher than where we opened today, which shouldn't be too much of a feat. And in any case, I think because we are moving up to finish what I'm labeling here as a minute third wave. So you're going to see, right? So we have this larger degree C wave coming up. And that's finishing the counter trend rally that began on October of 2022. So that's your big, big picture. But breaking it all down to what we're thinking on a weekly or a daily basis, we're up inside of this move, which will have five waves of its own. There's one, two, three, four. We're in the fifth. What will be inside this fifth is another five. And then we have one, two, and we're just getting ready to finish three. So I think that we're going to finish that. It could come today, it could come tomorrow, but we get above this high right there, which is 52.61.
Can you space out the chart a little bit? Because all the numbers on my end seem to be all squished.
You're right, they do. So let me just pull this down. And then
so we can separate those. We can see where the different levels are that you've got up there.
Let me go like that and then go like that.
Better.
So we just don't see everything coming up there, but we see what's important, and that's right in here.
Exactly where we are, right?
So what I'm looking for is, again, a little bit of this decline that we got that should complete the small wave four. We get a nice little rally. And our first resistance for this comes at 52.68. Now, that could complete it, but I actually am hoping that we get a stronger push. And then we end up around 5,300. So I have resistance at 5,301. 5,325 is a much longer term Fib level. And then I have, just coinciding with this particular wave that I'm looking at, equality would be number one. And I may have to adjust that because we came down below. In fact, I will. Let me just do this for a moment. Let me come down to an hourly chart and make an adjustment real quick to that low because it's going to change that number. So I'm going to activate, bring it down to here and say, okay. Right. Okay. So the 618 takes us just up to the current high and I need to be above it. So most often, if this is going to be 1, 2, 3, and this is 4, and I'm looking for 5, even within inside this little move, then wave 1 is what we measure, wave 5, 2. And this would be 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we get the 5. And so what I'm looking for in here is equality, and equality comes in at 5287. So it's actually just below that 5300 level basis, the cash market. Now, a real good surge would then take us up to as high as 5325 to 5330.
And you also seem like you have some resistance around this 5260 area. That's
absolutely 61. Absolutely. We have the current high, and then we have Fib resistance right there as well. Yeah. I suspect that, well, you know what? I shouldn't say that. It could hold. And if it does, and just by barely breaking that high that we have at 61.
Right.
That would fulfill on an Elliott basis what's required out of the move. So I shouldn't say no, it should break that pretty easily. It may not.
Well, I think the key is going to be whether the support holds, because if the support holds, then you probably will blow it out on the upside. But if you start to take out numbers such as like 5210,
or 5210 to 5200, 5205. Yeah,
don't you think right around, if that neighborhood gets taken out?
It really can. And then on a cash basis, I have another level just under, and I believe it really comes in down here like 5176.
Okay.
Then on a cyclical basis, if that starts to break, it's going to start to really toss things around and really kind of present us with a more negative picture, at least on a cycle basis. That could take us through the end of April. So what the translation is that we would have a correction, which I'm calling for, but I'm looking for the move to go up first, finish this, and then have between a 5 and an 8% pullback.
Yeah.
Now, that's not, I mean, it's going to be tradable and it's going to be great. And if you're an option trader, you're going to love it. You'll be able to make some decent money. So it's not a horrible amount to come back. But we're talking like maybe comes down to, 5170, 5175.
Yeah. But for it to have a more significant drop towards the purple would require the semiconductors coming up for some air, which they're not doing yet.
Yeah, I like that statement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It also, I think, it just requires that there's got to be an about face, and there has to, I feel very strongly that if we're going to get a stronger, more severe pullback from these levels, that it's going to be news-driven. There has to be a catalyst that comes in and just breaks the back of everybody going like, we just go up, to make them rethink about what they're doing. And I think that comes with some serious news.
Some of the tech sector, like Qualcomm and IBM, I think even Broadcom, have had some pullback.
Yes.
That on balance, Broadcom's come down pretty good. But,
And then Super Micro, which is brand new to the S&P, comes in. And the first thing, I don't remember who it was, but somebody came back and said, I got a price target, 1125. What does the stock do? Stock's up almost $100.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they got a great buying opportunity when they announced the secondary offering, because secondary offering does dilute the stock. But with this kind of a company, that was very temporary. So it goes from like $1,200 down to $800, and now we're at over 1,000 again. So
Faster than you can say my name.
Yeah, they're in love with this chip factory. You've been around a long time. Chips, people don't understand, are a commodity, and the reason they're going up like mad is the commodities in short supply. What happens after short supply comes supply. So at some point these things will come down, and it won't be because of any other reason than all of a sudden the shortage is gone.
Right. And it's just like, I know that you follow the stocks as well.
Yeah.
And the stocks actually did, this is, and I had a subscriber come and talk to me about it, and I'll just go over there quickly.
Yeah, the stocks had a pretty good drop from 238, 240 down to 212.
Now, but here's what's important. On the bicycle, yeah. That's five down. That is five waves down on an hourly chart.
So now it's on a
an all-time high. So did the stocks give us an early signal?
Oh, I got you. So it gave you the five down, which would say that the primary is now down, and now it's bouncing on a
possibly
a contrary three.
Well, that's what I'd look for right now, because what did I get?
How would you count out the three, though, right now?
I just got a quick five up. Now I got three down. Maybe we get five up, not going to a new high. So, you know, you start to measure. Let me just change this. We just measure simple, and we're going to follow it. So without making any grand statements, because obviously the tone is still bullish.
Yeah.
The market continue even on a cycle basis. We have a lot of cycle troughs happening, and their right-hand translations would continue to tell you that the market is remaining bullish. And so we expect them to, off of this loss, for example, to go up and do it again.
Yeah.
Now, so what I got going on, if indeed, since I saw five down, if we do three up, we've already reached 62% here. So could it be a couple of things? Is this the ABC? We reached that. But even if this is one and we're doing a two, wave two can come up this high. So if indeed we have this A of two, B of two, and now we're going to do another five up, why wouldn't I consider 23? But still, I'm now looking at this. Because the other side of the coin, Jim, is like, well, no, maybe if that was just because I did tell this person. What I can count as five, if you really go into the details, could be that it actually is A, B, and then we get a 1, 2, 3, 4, and a 5 for C wave. I don't particularly care for that, but I'm sure others can come up with it. But right now I am looking at it like this is wave 1, wave 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, wave 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for wave 5. So I do count it as that. That could be an early signal. An early signal, because the semiconductors. Oh,
no. I'll tell you, I mean, just give me a little sidebar here. I'm looking at a lot of stocks that have already rolled over quite a bit. AMD,
right, you just
Qualcomm,
mentioned them. Right.
IBM,
yeah.
Broadcom, Intel, you know. And now what I'm looking at is even at NVIDIA, if I look at the 1 month graph and I see where it hit a high point on Friday, May 8th, the RSI was at 85 that day. And now I look at the high that was happening today, and basically the RSI is only 66.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Yeah.
And so that's telling me that if we started to see NVIDIA get under, 950, 945.
Get out of the pool.
Well, I mean, it would look like there could be some rollover to it. I mean, it does look very strong. Obviously, you don't want to fight City Hall here. But, you know, when you get that kind of divergence in RSI, sometimes it is something.
And, well, let's add another layer if we can. And this is, I'm just going right into your backyard on this one.
Yeah. Because if they had a full-blown correction down to 830 or something on NVIDIA, you're definitely, the whole board's coming down.
You know? I agree. But now let's take a look at the options. Let's see what's trading. Those are spreads. I don't need to go look at verticals. I'm just going to look at the single. What are they piling into? The 980s. So what happens when they're buying this premium? Because here, this is for NVIDIA, it's not that low, but it's not as high as it can get. But the 980 call, they're paying $10.30 with the stock at 950.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm a dealer. I'm selling that premium. What's my hedge? I got to go 1-to-1 and I'm going to just buy the stock.
Yeah.
You know, so when you see what the dealers are dealing in, and then you can put that behind that, then what does that then say to us? Let's go back over to just NVIDIA's chart, and we're looking at the RSI, and Jim is absolutely 100% correct, folks, and we can look at it right here. We got a high in the RSI, then we have a higher high in the stock, a lower high in the RSI, and now we come up again, and we're making higher highs, and the RSI is lower. Three times in the last five, whatever trading days. Four times.
You need to get a little momentum on the downside. And the short-term stuff I'm looking at, that 950 level is kind of important, 940 and 930. Yeah. So 950, 940, 930. And, of course, those numbers will get higher, you know, and get closer to where the market is every day the market stays up. So,
But let's understand, because then you can maybe speak to this as well. It's like if it starts to come down and it does it with any speed, that volatility is going to accelerate. Right. So the volatility within NVIDIA, we'll watch it go from 58 back up to 100. But where it's shifting is it's like going over to the put.
Yeah.
Then they're going to be bidding up the puts. And it turns into a dealer nightmare, so to speak, because they're just, and then we're in playing the gamma squeeze and the gamma game. And don't forget that Thursday, right?
Yeah,
are we doing the weekly early? It's going to let the weekly expire on Thursday, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's also the end of the quarter, folks.
Yeah, no, I mean you would think this week would be an up week because of the window dressing and because end of the quarter and the holiday joy. The consensus is we're going to have an up week, but you know, we'll have to see if that actually pans out. But right. You know, that reversion to the mean on NVIDIA has been not a bad way to go because
last month
it has had dips back to a couple of the moving averages. Like last Tuesday, it pulled back to like about 840. Great place to jump on board. And then basically it had a big pullback here recently into the 860s, 870s. You know, this is the way it makes some sense to play NVIDIA is on pullbacks against some of the moving averages.
Right.
And otherwise, this one, if you buy it on strength, you could get in trouble, you know.
And it could be in a box, so to speak, as well, because here we have that low.
860, 960 right now?
This one was at 840, 842. It's the one you were speaking about.
Right.
850 level. And right, you're right. Right now, you know, it's got a high of what, 967? And this was a spike. This up to 974 was a spike in rejection.
Yeah.
You know, 1, 2, 3, boom. And they could be doing it again, but I don't think there's enough players out there to actually push it. But then we're not done for the day. Now, again, I just want to also put out there the cycle work on NVIDIA also shows that we have cycles that are coming in that are going to trough. And so even if we're doing very short term, these are troughs for cycles. Now we've gone up. And if that cycle is peaking and already getting ready to turn down, if it's just a weekly, right, goes up and it tops, and now it starts to put that downside pressure on, that's going to add, I believe, to the fact that the broader markets that this index sits in are also needing to pull back to put in a correction. So put the combination together, this stock may lead the charge. Just saying, you know, these are just things that they're all possibilities. Bottom line is, even in the stocks, if this ends up being three.
And the other thing is, you know, put up JP Morgan. I mean, that stock went to 200 and it's not near 200 anymore.
No.
So, you know, like I say, you know, and we are getting to the end of that great cycle where November to April is very good for stocks seasonally. And then they go a little bit sometimes on a vacation.
Yeah. Go, you know, buy in May and go away.
They're all screaming revert to the mean at some point, you know.
Where would you say the mean is for JP Morgan down here at 160?
Yeah, I would say that on a short-term basis, it already hit a mean at 195. Okay. Underneath that is 193. And if you want a full Monty correction, then you're talking more like you're saying there, I've got a 192 and a half. And then 188, then 185.
And your moving averages are totally in agreement with you. Yeah. I actually switched, and now this green one is a 13, and the 13 is sitting right at 192.
Yeah.
And then my 20 is sitting at 190. So these are all numbers you just gave me.
Yeah. And by the way, look at the RSI divergence.
Oh, same thing.
So that's why, you know, if I was in NVIDIA, I'd at least be aware of that because – 85 to 66 is a very big divergence in RSI.
Yes. Yes. And so my last one is the 50, which is at 182, and that's 185, 180. That's what you just said.
Yeah.
So all...
if it's going to revert to the mean.
Yeah. And folks, it's not unhealthy. We're just talking about we need to build up, we need to keep the health of the market in here.
Yeah. And even there, if you go back on a one-year graph, you had a pullback from a 177 down to 165. That was a good place to get on board. You know, where to get on board on these things is also somewhat important, you know, because if you got in at 200 right now and it's at 194, now you're on that, I hope it goes back to the high mode. And sometimes that's not a great place to be.
Well, on a weekly basis, off of this low that we had in October of 2023, it still has 1, 2, 3. This is just a smallie. And we're looking at 190, 189, 190. Or as low as like 185. So those levels you just gave, which we took off of a daily chart, are very prevalent on the weekly as well as levels where that comes in and we still get one more rally out of this whole thing before we go through a much longer term, larger pullback. So that's kind of the message I think that the market is trying to put together. Are we there or do we still have one more? And I'm beginning to see some analysts come out and they're talking about exactly that. Yeah, we need to pull back. But even the cycles themselves are saying, well, not quite. Because we have a very, very dominant four-year cycle that has not necessarily peaked just yet. Yeah. And we also have a presidential cycle.
Yeah. You want to put your S&P back up there and then get some extrapolations? Because I have a couple of technicians I work with and... they had a 5,500 number as an ultimate destination. I think one of your FIB numbers were up there.
All right. Let me bring this back down a little bit so I can
get it clear.
Yep. Just kind of open that back up again.
Yeah.
These all go along with, these are the short-term count that we're sitting in.
Yeah.
So 100% is 54.15, and that is for, I believe, the minor degree. We really start to break. And again, what goes through my mind is like, what catalyst are they going to come up with to give us this final push, which could go to 5,500? Now, I will be able to fill in this dark black hole, as I call it. Once this progresses a little more, I'll be putting on additional upside levels to finish up this wave. And I already know from some that I had previously there, I have 5,450, 5,440, 5,475, there's 5,486 on one level, and then you've got 5,500. So the possibility is there.
Yeah, and like I say, we hit about 5,260, let's say, and then if you go to 50, even 5,590 would be basically about a jump of 6% or so. So
right.
It's not like, and again, if the guy's going to start cutting interest rates into a bonfire that's going on out here, I know he likes to have asset prices going up. I was saying he's got a new job description. It's not Fed chairman. It's a campaign director for Biden. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if he's just a campaign director for the U.S. Congress.
Yeah, I mean, he just basically is very happy to have. I mean, he's playing the market. He seems like a hedge fund manager because, you know, he's talking about easing and he wants to cut these rates back down again and obviously make monetary conditions easier.
Right.
And when you look at the way people are spending money and the prices of things, they look pretty easy right now, you know.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
Interesting. Unless, you know, like I say, there's some out of the blue thing that hits where people put their wallets away, which could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So much to be determined.
I think the world is getting a little short of funds, I guess, because I was in Walmart the other day and everything's locked up. You know, you want to get razor blades, you got to get a person to unlock the razor blade thing. You want the thing that knocked me over this weekend was the underwear is locked up.
The underwear? I mean, we've had razor blades and things that they can grab and sell on the street. That's been locked up in our Walgreens and everything for over a couple of years.
Now, the other thing is they're only letting you use, they have like 29 aisles, but now they're only letting you use like a certain amount of places to, use as cashiers. so they can really, you know, look at everybody. I mean, it just feels like very much somebody who is very concerned about theft, I guess.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I do. I mean, hear
it's,
you.
It's kind of a, I feel it's a little weird, to be honest.
Yeah. Energy, my friend. Shall we talk?
Yeah, let's go over some of the markets. We've got 30 minutes left, and let's start doing the old round robin. We'll start out with energy and see how that goes. What do we got for energy?
What you want to use?
You want to use the actual energy first, and we'll get into some stocks. So let's look at CLK. First thing I've been telling people for 3 months is that energy is in a backwardation situation on the futures, which is a definition
of tight
supply.
Talking about crude? You want to look at crude?
Crude. Let's see what the actual crude
for May. Okay.
Yeah. And you know what backwardation is all about, but many people don't understand it. And that means basically the supplies are tight.
Yeah. Understand, basically supplies are tight. And that's why you're paying $5 plus for gas in the state of California.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, but then you know what they'll tell you? It's because we have to go from our winter blend to our summer blend.
Yeah.
Give me a break. Do you think that every Exxon and all the rest of those guys didn't already stock up? They just know that they can squeeze you.
Of course. So what are you seeing here? Because, you know,
I have not really done anything in crude for a while. Let me go up to my daily and see if I got something on there. No, I think I've always left.
I have a resistance zone between 80 and 85, and I had a support zone between 70 and 65. And I think we're into some resistance zone here that if it can exceed 85, then the door goes wide open to go to 100.
Well, let me do two things, and this is on my daily. I don't want that one.
But if it can't, we're in a resistance zone, and we're going to revert back to the mean, which is in the 70s.
Which that crude has been actually loving to do. This one would give you upside, and what we're looking at is the possibility. It's like, well, we're going to take this, which is a nice move, and we're going to compare it to what this next leg may or may not do. And I have to tell you, I'm looking at this. That's not bullish. That's corrective. So right now on that front, we have resistance at 87.70 or 88, and then you've got par. Then there's your 100 right there.
Yeah. So I have it at 85. You're saying more like 87 and change.
But that's 618. So 85 could be, you know, it's in the hood. It's in the hood.
Yeah.
I don't get all worked up about that.
But the momentum is trying to turn up, that's for sure. But like I say, it's also now come a long way. It's come up to almost $20 a barrel. So, you know, it has come a long way. And now the yardage might be a little harder to come by unless they have more bull. But I mean, that backwardation thing is never something to,
But I want to show you one other now. Just using the continuous crude oil chart, and to the person who asked, it's like, yes, crude oil is crude oil market. that we did five up, in my opinion, and then we've done five down, in my opinion. So now what I want to look at, we just look at where resistance should be. Look where it's coming, Jim. What did you say? You said 85?
I said a ballpark, 84, 85.
You're hitting it out into center field, but that's absolutely perfect because the resistance is at 84.
Yeah.
62% of, so a 62% retracement of this decline is 83.83 or 84.
Right.
Above that, it's 88. And then if we start to break, we should break 93 or 94. And then we're looking at that par, looking at 100. And it's simply, folks, at this level, at this stage of the game, 100 would definitely just be because it's a big round.
And obviously there must be some shortage or we wouldn't have backwardation.
Agreed. But that, I think, should be just about all done, because isn't it usually the month of March? And then when April shows up,
I'll tell you the other thing is I mean, Europe is coming on, and obviously people in Japan got plenty of money, and you know, China's trying to stimulate, and people just can't wait for this winter to end so they can start spending money on travel. So I mean, the demand side of energy should not be a problem.
Agreed. I do agree with you. And
Santa Claus doesn't work for OPEC, so you know, they might like to get a nice payday while everyone is full of money and full of interest in using energy.
Right, because they're going to have to bring it down a little bit. I agree. Mm-hmm. So, and all fits. But this pattern, again, I've not done any long-term work on crude in quite some time. But I would just kind of look at this as like,
how about the three stocks that I positioned myself in back in February? Start out with Occidental, OXY, you know, Buffett's favorite.
I'll go out to the weekly.
Yeah, because I saw a fairly significant longer-term chart starting to break out.
This is the weekly, so which goes off of the October 2022. Actually, this is October 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Well, that was the crash, and to be honest with you, one of the best investments you could have ever made. They had non-callable 10-year notes, Occidental, paying 35%.
Wow.
Means your money doubles every like few years.
That's why it rallies.
And that was non-callable till 2032.
Wow.
So, you know, if you thought that Buffett was not going to let his investment go to zero, that would have been the time to buy those things, because you know, fixed income guaranteed by Occidental, paying 35%, non-callable, which means they can't take it away.
Well, it's starting to head higher again, and I would say that as long as 55 holds, or at least that weekly 200, which is at 54, so you're looking 54, 55.
Yeah,
this stock has got a fair chance of breaking above 77.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if we break 84 and start getting into the rarefied air on the actual crude price, this stuff's going to run, you know?
That part, I'll agree with you. And that's a five-year. That's my 20-year week. Ooh, even better. Look at that. Was this. And this
looks like a head and shoulder reverse, right?
There you go, right?
And if it breaks the neckline at $75, it's going to go taking off for those.
So, but even now, this is a much longer-term weekly chart. It does kind of also suggest it could come down and test the weekly 200. Not only break it, but test it and make this a nice clean and then just launch. Because
that RSI looks like it wants to go higher, doesn't it?
It does. In fact, it's kind of going parabolic as we're looking at it now, which tells me it might just turn and come back down to here before it does its major launch higher. Because what I was going to add is that even though there's a lot of positive things around Oxy, around Halliburton, around these energy sector stocks, I don't think that they may not decline as hard as a lot of, say, the tech or even artificial intelligence, which has captured all the attention. But I believe they will correct because they're members of indexes and indexes will be sold.
Right, that could be. The other thing, they could be a beneficiary of a rotation out of some of the ones that have gone through the roof.
Absolutely.
Supportive,
which then could turn it into they're being supported as money's being pulled out of one and put into the other.
Yeah, because these guys pay dividends too, and they do buybacks because they got cash. They're not looking for any oil. They're just taking it and giving it back.
They're not looking for oil. They just got cash.
They just got cash, and then they're sending the cash back in dividends and in buybacks. Halliburton, same story a little bit?
Oh, absolutely same story. Even, I think, pretty much, but did this kind of... You know, it almost is like you do these great runs. It does a hard correction, and then it seems to be putting in what I would call and this is, again, is a weekly chart. So let me just kind of put some lines in here. It goes, attach it to that guy. And then to the upside, so you can see it for yourself. Really what I'm putting together is that is it forming? Come on, right there. See what it does?
Mm-hmm.
Ding, 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 ding. Boom. It's putting in
which would say it could bank a few more dollars on the upside before it hits resistance.
Oh, yeah, I could. But see, I've got that upper boundary sitting right at 44, 45.
Well, that's a lot higher than where it is right now.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Gives you another 10% almost.
This is a weekly chart, so don't expect it tomorrow because it's not going to happen. It's going to take longer.
Right.
But my point is, I always say do not discount a triangle. And actually, that triangle can go to here. So if this is an A, B, C, D, E, it's going to come down one more time.
I got you.
Oh, boy, and it could come down pretty far. But again, weekly chart's going to take a while.
Yeah. If they break, if the oil cannot get through the 84 and they revert back to the mean, then this thing is going to come down. So that's why, you know, I'm definitely... Yeah. One click away from being on the Alumni Association, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you can see how even on the weekly chart, it is holding to, let me just bring this shorter so we get a little bit picture. See, it's holding very nicely. holding within the boundary.
Yeah.
So boundary break, well, then it should run. Boundary break, then it should drop.
Yeah.
It's going to signal to you that this particular move is over, either to the upside or the downside, that it's over. So, and I can connect it by two more points. I can, I don't want to connect it from there because this is actually the first leg. I can connect this one down to here.
Yeah.
Which should give it a little bit more power. What was your last one?
Schlumberger, the drill bit, SLB. These are the energy servicers and the
They're
other
ones. They're all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, we got that. They all crashed along with everybody else.
Yep.
And then one, yeah. Difficult to apply Elliott, but not difficult just to apply moving averages, just to apply the moves itself. Like that's five up. That's clean. These are not so clean, but I'd have to say that's five up and that should be five up. So we did a total of, off of the 2020 lows, we've done on the weekly five up. So there we have the A, the B, and we should be working the C wave down. And it doesn't look like that's what it wants to do. So, but Schlumberger, it's kind of the same pattern, but not exactly the same.
A little
same.
Weaker?
I would think it could be. I would think it could be. Now, if I go from here and do this and put it up to there and up here, yeah, same. It is actually kind of the same. Because here I'm just going to put it across the whole top and you got the same thing. It's wedging. And as long as it stays inside, the wedge would say A, B, C, D, E, up. This is a different wedge than the other ones we're presenting. I could take it all the way from here. I got A, B, C, D, E, launch. Is he following that?
Yeah.
So you get, there's the first leg, second, the third, the fourth in progress. We come back down, head towards this, maybe hit it, maybe don't. And that completes the triangle. And then we launch. Where the other one was kind of saying that the launch would be lower. Right? I could be wrong. I need to maybe go back and review it. Because I would suspect that Schlumberger, Halliburton, and Oxy are in the same family and they should all move the same way. What's good for one should be good for all, right?
All right, let's take a look at the gold.
Oh, my favorite. Finally made us move.
And then let's figure out why the gold mining shares aren't going crazy like the gold has. And then I have something I'm looking at that I wanted to get your opinion on. So let's look at the gold first because, you know.
Okay. Gold finally broke out. I'm put in, again, let me come to the moon, and let me try it to a daily. A little bit cleaner. Okay. So this reached the 100% mark. But, you know, that spike made me think of this spike. And when they did it on a Globex, I believe it was, or right at an opening of like a Globex. And that was when somebody got closed out. They did it here. And they did it here. I've not heard, but my gut's telling me same type of a move. They run it up. They fill everybody. They got filled. They got taken out of the market. And then it just kind of declined and continued to decline off of that high. Now, I don't think that it's going to do extensive damage to the overall rally because I think the underlying in gold has turned more bullish. The wave pattern itself still continues to be bullish. So our next level on just this basis, and this is all contract, right? This is the contract. So I'd have to even bring this sucker down even more.
Are you looking at the April?
Yeah. And see how now it all lines up because I moved it down to the April contract. When I'm out of my weekly chart or even on my longer term dailies, it's not the April contract is included, but they don't go back that far. So this is now on the continuous and we can see it's a basis April. So my first line of defense for this third, this small internal third was at 2205. Now it got there, we got to 25 and now we're pulling back. And I think, you know, we made 2140 sits there, 2113. Because if I'm looking at this and this is all going to be 1, 2, 3, and we're coming down a little 4, this should hold like up in here and then run again. And the next run I would expect is going to get it above 2225. And then I'm looking at this. Now I will. You'll be able to add additional fibs once I get this next low in. And let me just open this up. See, right now I just got this, and then a little bounce, and I need one more. So 21.31, actually down to 20, or even a little bit lower. Because I got
mean, if this thing has, yeah, if this thing cannot hold above right now 21.70, because 21.60 was the low recently. If right. it can't hold 21.60, 21.70, I got a gap down to 21.20 or 21.00, or and the big one would be all the way down to 20.40 again. I don't think it's gonna. It's not gonna get. It's not gonna give you a gift down at 20.40.
No, I would agree with you, and I would think that we got Bitcoin up $6,500.
Yeah,
that's supportive of gold.
Yeah,
got the
dollar. As long as 21.60, I mean, the numbers are easy to see. 21.60, 21.70. I mean, you stay right. long, at, you oh, stay no, long, at, right. and then you could add actually on a break above 21.80.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, in terms of that, and do it. But by whatever means you do. I mean, if you're long the actual gold future, that's something different. But if you're using GLD and you're using options, talk to my friend Jim.
Well, I'm just saying you would expand your exposure above 21.80 because then the momentum and everything else would be turning up. Right now, it's kind of like in a 21.80, 21.60 window here.
Right
and,
now.
I think trying to play guess which way it's going to break is probably not the real game to play.
The small pattern in play on a four-hour chart suggests that we'll come down and retest and go below 21.6.
Well, I don't like that spike. My RSI was at 80 on March 8th, and then this spike up out of the blue happened. But I talked to my buddy. I said, you're going to get a spike up because that's a down flag.
Yeah.
And the down flag ended at 21.60, and within 2 days, you're up $60 a share. I mean, an ounce.
No.
So that was the play. If you want to do a short term play, you buy some calls. Right. You're looking for a up pull. That up pull happens, you got to grab the money fast because that's all it was an up pull.
See, that's why I said come talk to my friend Jim.
That's how you can try to speculate and take advantage of the chart.
Right.
You see the down flag on the 1 year graph there, don't you? A little bit.
Yeah, right here.
From 2200 down to 2160, kind of a down flag.
Down 2200 down to 2160. There it is.
And then boom. On my chart, it's a little bit more prominent because it's not as wide as yours. You know what I mean? Because I'm looking at the 1 year graph. You're not looking at a 1 year, are you?
No. This 4 hour chart goes.
Yeah, 1 year is a little bit more obvious down flag there.
But here, this I just squished it up a little bit so that you could see it.
Also was running into some very good support on the moving average at that point, too.
It certainly was. It just rallied right around that 50 right there. And then, bang.
All right, let's put up GDX on a 20-year graph and get an idea if this thing is going to explode in the next 6 months. Because there's some people out there who like to put some money into something that might explode in the next 6 months.
Let me go here. What do I have 20-year? I got a weekly on it. Do you want the weekly?
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. I got a window with my averages at 25 and about 31, and there it's in a window of 20, maybe call it 26 and 21,
and
31.
Let me just go like this, and you're going to see it. There's your window.
31 and 30 and 26, pretty much a window there.
30 and 28, but you could drop it a little bit lower.
Yeah,
you got here's 26, here's 30.
Yeah, because I've got a lot of recent lows in that area. Like I have a low on GDX in October of 25.60, right. And then I got a low in February of 25.67, and then I've got these highs coming in anywhere at 31, 31, 31. So if we can start trading this thing above 31. And then above 35, then this right. thing could give you the kind of returns that people expect when they speculate in gold during a hot market.
There's the whole picture. There's what you're talking about. Here's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, got 25. And I see that. But this rally up pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still, it still has a little cap on it, it seems.
For whatever reason, I see that because this is a stronger decline. That is a three. This is a three. This is a three. And now it seems it's working a five, which would suggest. Now, I'm just purely technical. I'm not going to anything that's behind with the miners. in a purely technical look.
Yeah, I'm looking at it technically too, because I don't know if these miners are mismanaged, or the interest rates being where they are are killing them, or there's malfeasance. I don't know what's going on over there.
I hear you. Off of the April 2022 high, I got five down. Then I have basically a three up to the April 2023 high. And then what did we do? So they went between the two, they went down and came back. So here we are declining 2023, and now we're getting ready to go make another high. But it's, and if it comes in a lower high, boy, you got a big clue, right?
Yep.
Higher, lower high, a year apart. Now we're coming back down, declining, and we're getting ready to get into April, and we're rallying.
And the crypto may also be an explanation in that people that are looking for, shall we say, a non-dollar speculation, especially the people under 45 years old, you know, they're all more than comfortable to get into the crypto thing. And the crypto's gone so wild, you know. I mean, I'm at a hotel here in Vegas, and I talked to a guy, he's on his phone. I go, "What are you checking? Some stocks?" He goes, "No, only crypto."
Only crypto, yeah.
So, you know, there is a little bit of the mania going on there.
The altcoins are nuts. The altcoin coins are back to, like, you know, gaining 100% or 1,000%.
That's what he was talking about being involved in, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, you know, when I see that, you know, I get nervous because, you know, back in 08, I was at Applebee's and the waitress said, "You know, I also do real estate, you know." These are mature things that go on, not at the bottom. You know what I mean?
But you know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Damn. Right. Just like Trump's spec, I think they're valuing it in $4 billion or $5 billion, and they only have sales of $4 million. So, you know, we are at a place where they're starting to put everything on the curb because people will take everything off the curb. You know what I mean?
Immediately.
Yeah.
So wherever they come out, they're going to be sellers standing there waiting, and it's not going to be the ones that are stuck in the quiet period.
You know, in the commodity sector, I wanted to go over the grains because to my research, the grains are either at the absolute bottom and they're going to have a fabulous summer, or they're not. But I think this is the place where I thought that there could be some real value. So even if you just start with the corn.
I was on beans.
Okay, yeah, let's go beans. We only need to do one. Do the beans, yeah. I had 1072 to 1122 as a potential bottom, and then basically maybe up from there.
Go to a four-hour chart. Wow, that was a nasty gap low back in June of 2023. Okay, so here, wow. Okay, now we're looking at this. Wow, that is something.
You know, I heard that the farmers weren't making any money, and basically, so maybe they're not going to plant as much. I don't know.
There was that, but then, you know, there's also, it's like Argentina had a ton of rain.
Okay.
And so that they put behind, you know, they got pushed, and then here came this, that maybe this was that they were able to, but I think with this, and we're not really rallying that hard, because don't forget the upper Midwest got blasted with snow.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking along the lines of, you know, I have these very important moving averages that come in at 1073 and 1122, and the low has been 1115. So it came down and tested one of them and has held. I've got the November contract at 1196. You know, this, I have other moving averages above 14. So I'm just wondering if there could just be at least a reversion rally sometime this year. Which certainly a $2 move in beans is nothing to sneeze at. And the stuff used to be, well, it bottomed at 8 and it went to 18. That's $10.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you take 6 or 7 off, well, it's gone further than that, I guess. Yeah.
Here is the November contract. Well, it did very well. But, you know, all right, let me just, these are just straight fibs, folks. Just looking at the fibs. You know, there's nothing now. And as you, I know you tell people this, Jim, that commodities really do have real world implications in terms of rain, the weather.
Oh, yeah. Getting 9 million things can go right or wrong.
Exactly.
But if you want it to be betting and speculating that the crop won't go well and things will get tighter, you know, when you get down to 11, that's the time to make that gamble.
Yeah, there you go. And it's done it here, right there.
And the gamble's already starting to turn a bit.
Exactly. But look where it got to. Just shy of 50%. So okay. It dropped. from 1317 down to 1122, and it's already rallied back 50%, and they nailed it. They nailed it right off of that level.
Right.
They nailed it. Look at that. And that's 1, 2, 3. Strange, but rallies back on. See, this is pretty vicious. That's wow, a lot of money. but I would think it has another leg down. So I think you might end up back down here.
Let's shoot in the U.S. dollar just real quick, because, you know, the Japanese were going to supposedly raise interest rates, and that looks like a big joke. And so I saw the dollar, having that big reversion rally from 115 down to 100. And now I'm seeing a dollar that if it starts getting above 105 and can hold the 102, 103 level, you know, this dollar is going to take off like a bat out of hell.
And it actually can. Here I'm looking at this going 1, 2, 3. This is just a 4-hour chart. I may have to revise this. That this is going to end up being more bullish than you thought. A lot of spiking. And then they did that. And then they came right back. And this is where something's going. That was Japan, probably.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, they're supposed to be changing the yield curve control. And, you know,
I would tell you right off of this. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Why would Japan do anything to their currency except let it collapse? Because their stock market has just made a brand new high up to like 40,000. So their stock market has absolutely gone through the roof. They actually have some inflation. So their assets are actually going up in price. And so whatever that the currency has lost half of its value in 10 years. But I guess it's been offset by the consumer and the economy, because, you know, they're an exporting economy. So, you know, the last thing they want is a strong yen, really.
Let me put one more little fib on this sucker and see what we look at, because I know we're running against the clock here.
Yeah.
Now this, come on, this is taking from that par low up to that recent high, back down to this low, and here's our game plan. If it's going to rally, if it breaks 105, it's going to 106. And if it breaks 106, it's going to 110.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So that's a pretty good size move, which means the euro goes in the tank a little bit, because half of this thing
does, is euro. Which is, I don't think people are expecting.
Well, they don't have the greatest. First of all, they're planning on cutting interest rates, and their economies are not going that great. So.
Well, you would think that if the U.S. is, if the Fed is really going to serious about they're going to cut rates, they're not going to. Who wants the dollar at 106?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the confusing picture, folks. This is the, when we try to weigh it out, this is what the technicals are telling us. And then you try to place that with the fundamentals, and you try to place that with what is the market expecting? What's the Fed doing? They don't all match up. So
maybe this is telling you the Fed is going to delay these cuts, and with the higher interest rates, we should get the dollar going. That could be an explanation.
You're absolutely right. That's what I was saying. It's like something is afoot.
Yeah. All right. We're at the top of the hour, Michael. Explain to people how they can get a hold of you and if you have any special offers. Yeah.
Again, Michael Filicara. And if you would like to get a hold of me and just send me an email, ask a question, I always answer my emails. Michael@MJF1Partners.com. Please check me out on YouTube at Traders Helping Traders. Then go for my name. That's very clear. And I put things up every day. And then also, if you have an interest in, I do have a trade room, and you can go to TradersHelpingTraders.com, look for the trade room tab. And I will tell you that I am accepting new members. We meet each day. And the charge for the trade room is $2.99 a month, but here is, not a guarantee, but here is my commitment. My commitment is to help you make $299 a day. So if you have an interest in doing that and coming in, and we meet each morning, and this is Pacific Standard Time, or daylight time, the room opens at 6 a.m. and I close it at 8 a.m. And so that within that first 2 hours, and basically within the first hour and a half, because the opening is at 6:30 a.m. Pacific, my goal is to have everyone be making at least the cost of the room every day.
Sounds good. Okay, as far as option professors concerned, I have a link to the indicators I use with my own decision making. And I also have a one-on-one online session where I can explain the options to you, the way I like to work with them, what strategies I like, and what markets I like. And then, of course, we can look at the stuff you're doing through my lens and see what it looks like. So all of that's been very, very helpful to people. Go to optionprofessor.com, OPTION professor.com. Put in your information. I'll call you back personally. we'll get together. This week's a shortened week, so my docket is getting pretty filled up. So if you'd like to learn, get your information in today, and we'll take it from there. Michael, thanks for being here. There's a lot more to talk about, but there's just not enough time. So people should get a hold of us so we can give you the other things that are going on in the world we didn't get a chance to get to today. So that's a good thing to do.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, you too. And I'll talk to you soon, Michael. And back to David.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great discussion today. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. Also, you can just go to timingresearch.com and get access to any of the past shows and presentations. Also, be sure to join us tomorrow all day for another Analyze Your Trade event. And that'll start at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And we have a full 10-hour lineup to go. And both Michael and the Option Professor will be on that one. We're going to start out the day with Fausto Puglisi at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And we'll be going until 8 p.m. Eastern time. And Michael is on at 1 p.m. Eastern. And the Option Professor is on at 5 p.m. Eastern time. So, again, the format for that is just we just look at charts. So no presentations, no set agenda. You show up and type in the charts or questions that you have, and our analysts will answer those for you or take a look at those charts for you. So again, join us for Analyze Your Trade number 210. That'll be tomorrow, Tuesday, March 26th, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And so that's it for today. Just want to thank my guests again for today, Michael Filguera of LogicalSignals.com and TradersHelpingTraders.com, and the Option Professor of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Michael.